25 years ago today, September 7th, 1978, Keith Moon died. The life of the eccentric drummer for The Who became one of the most storied examples of rock and roll excess. His manic showmanship behind the drum kit and his self-destructive behavior offstage created both a blueprint and a warning sign for superstars to come. Moon's potential for stardom was apparent at a very young age. In this BBC Two television interview from 1974, guitarist Pete Townshend recalls the first time The Who met a 17-year-old Keith Moon. At the time, band members called him the Gingerbread Man. He approached them between songs during their show at the Oldfield Hotel in Greenford, England.
Keith Moon rolled up one day, all ginger all over, ginger shoes, ginger corduroy trousers, ginger jacket, and his hair dyed ginger, holding a glass of brown ale. So his complete ginger sort of vision came up and said, I can play better than him. And this horrible impudent with his hair down like this, and got up on the drummer's drum kit and practically smashed it to pieces. And we thought, this is the man for us.
Members of The Who frequently told the story of the impudent teenager who bludgeoned his way into the band, but Tony Fletcher tells a different tale. He wrote the biography, Moon, The Life and Death of a Rock Legend.
When I researched the book, that was one of many, many, many myths that seemed to be called into question, and the manager of the Oldfield was absolutely convinced that, in fact, Keith had been sent off to a proper audition with The Who at the rehearsal room. So one of many myths we never quite know the truth about.
An important part of Keith Moon's mythic stature depends on contradictory stories. Even Moon had a different view of his hiring. Heard in this playful interview from the documentary, The Kids Are All Right, with fellow drummer and drinking buddy Ringo Starr.
How did you happen to join The Who? And if, in fact, that's what they were called when you joined?
Well, I've just been sitting in for the past 15 years. You know, they never actually told me that I was part of the band. I knew it by instinct.
Keith Moon's sense of humor was treasured by the people who knew him well, but it was feared by others. He was known to throw cherry bombs from hotel windows. He destroyed enough hotel rooms to earn a lifetime ban from Holiday Inns. And during The Who's appearance on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, Moon set off an explosion so loud that guitarist Pete Townshend blames it for his permanent hearing loss. In an interview with Rolling Stone in 1972, Keith Moon gleefully described his 21st birthday party at a Holiday Inn in Flint, Michigan, where he initiated a food fight, the reduction of a piano to kindling, and a police chase, which ended with Moon driving a luxury car into the hotel pool and breaking his front teeth. Biographer Tony Fletcher.
That rumor has persisted and persisted, despite the fact that everybody else I managed to track down at the that was at that party had no recollection of a car going into the hotel swimming pool. There was damage to some cars in the hotel car park. There was no car in the swimming pool. But if you ask people on the street what the one excessive image they have of Keith Moon, they'll say, didn't he drive a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool?
I saw it. We paid the bill. It was $50,000.
The Who's lead singer, Roger Daltrey.
And I was there and I know it happened and I just remember the car in the pool and the chaos and the people going crazy and Keith being rushed off to the dentist after being arrested. But then I read in a biography that never happened, so maybe I've been living someone else's life, I don't know. But there again, they were interviewing ex-alcoholics and drug addicts, so I suppose they're bound to get a very blurred view of what actually happened.
The Who's tour schedule kept them bouncing from hotel room to hotel room for months at a time. The lifestyle only exacerbated Moon's natural inclination toward excess.
He's thrown into the deep end of sort of rock and roll fame at an incredibly young age, 17, 18, he's a pop star. The managers of The Who kind of famously were just as out of control as the band. So there was nobody really out there to say to Keith Moon, like people would say to a young rock star these days, you know, there's a right way to do this and a wrong way, and if you want to live long, then you need to do things this way. Nobody at that time really thought that their fame was going to last into next week, let alone the next decade.
stories of Keith Moon's drug and alcohol abuse have added to the glorified notion that Moon embodied rock and roll extremes. Often lost in his story is the influence his drumming had. Tony Fletcher.
It's well worth noting that within The Who, Pete Townshend didn't really play lead guitar. He played very, very heavy rhythm chords. And Keith, in fact, was the guy who was playing the lead solos. You can hear that as immediately as on The Who's first single, I Can't Explain. And you hear the drums. He's playing little rim shots and drum rolls that actually emphasize the lyrics. And that had never really been done before. And you hear, a year or two afterwards, you hear Cream, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, you hear them all doing the same thing, but it was Keith who was first, and he did nothing short of revolutionizing the drums.
Can't explain, I think it's love, trying to say to you, when I feel blue.
Lead singer Roger Daltrey says Keith Moon's finest performance came on The Who's first top 10 single in the United States, 1967's I Can See for Miles.
The energy in the track is just unbelievable, and it's coming from the drums, and he plays with the singer. He actually plays directly behind the singer, which is very unusual. Most drummers play in between the singer. Moon played dead on with the singer. And in I Can See for Miles, he sounds like a steam engine, a steam locomotive at full pelt. His speed is incredible. And what actually could sound sloppy at first, you suddenly realise it's incredibly technical fusion of all these styles that he put together and made very much his own thing out of the drums.
If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles and miles.
The Who remained a prolific recording and touring act through the end of the 1960s. But songwriter Pete Townshend began to expand the band's sound from tight pop songs to grandiose rock operas. That meant more time spent writing the songs and less time on the road. Keith Moon set out to prove that idle hands are in fact the devil's tools. His drug problems worsened with every gap in their tour schedule. By the mid-70s, Moon's drunkenness was more violent than ever, his womanizing more blatant, and his precariously balanced marriage finally collapsed. His old mates in The Who began to realize fun-loving Moon the Loon might be on the road to an early demise. In 1978, Moon showed up for what would become The Who's final recording sessions. He was overweight, tired, and incapable of playing the drums with his previous flair. The band spent months longer than expected working on the album, Who Are You? Perhaps Keith Moon's inability to function in the studio was a wake-up call. He appeared on ABC's Good Morning America with David Hartman on August 7th.
Are you in control of your life at all?
Oh, yeah, certain days.
Certain days?
Yeah.
What do you like the other days?
Quite out of control. I mean, amazingly drunk.
Drunk?
Yeah, mainly, yes.
You can look back on that as possibly a cry for greater help than he was receiving, but what you were seeing there was a very honest and unguarded Keith Moon who probably wanted the world to know that he was not a well person.
The Who would tour in support of the new album, and Moon appeared to regain some of his swagger behind the drum kit. By all indications, his recovery was well underway, until September 7th, 1978. Keith Moon died of an overdose that night. He was 32 years old. Biographer Tony Fletcher.
Keith was on the wagon. He was falling off it a lot, and he was prescribed a drug called heminevrin. He'd always, in the past, taken uppers and taken 10 of them because one wasn't enough. The night that he died, he went home with his girlfriend, took a bunch of these pills, Woke up once, asked her to cook him a meal, took a bunch more of the pills. He took 26 of them in all. So, you know, the irony is that that here's somebody that everybody thought was going to drink himself to death. And when he gave up drinking, the drugs that were meant to help him withdraw from alcohol actually killed him.
Guitarist Pete Townsend called Roger Daltrey with the news.
I was at home with my family, and the phone rang, and it was Pete on the phone, and he just said he's done it. I was kind of mystified at first. What do you mean? He said, Keith, he's done it. He's finally done it. And I went, oh, no. I just knew. I just went walking on the farm for about 4 or 5 hours, and, you know, it was very, very sad. It was harder because we kind of expected it. He had a lot of close shaves in the previous 3 years. It was almost like he had this self-destruct button pushed.
The Who continued to tour and record without Keith Moon. Longtime fans reacted bitterly to the new drummer Kenny Jones, formerly of the Small Faces. Roger Daltrey did not disagree with them.
Keith Moon was not an ordinary drummer. Without him there, it just felt incredibly ordinary and lacked the fire. It was horrible. I hated it.
Despite the obvious downturn in the quality of the band, The Who stubbornly stayed together. Last year, they prepared for what some critics chided as yet another reunion tour with new drummer Zach Starkey, the son of Ringo Starr and protege of Keith Moon. Before their first show, they were dealt another blow. Bassist John Entwistle died in his Las Vegas hotel room at the age of 57. Surviving Who members Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey haven't ruled out future performances. Daltrey says they can serve as a tribute to the lost members of the band.
When we play the music in today, you still hear Keith there. Even though it's Zach playing the drums, Keith's indelibly written into that music. Same way as John is. Even though John's no longer here, as soon as you hear it, you're hearing John and Keith there within the music. And that's what I love about music. It transcends this life.
Roger Daltrey is at work producing a biopic of Keith Moon's life. There's no telling when that might hit theaters. The 1979 documentary, The Kids Are All Right, will be released on DVD at the end of this month. To hear the complete conversations with Tony Fletcher and Roger Daltrey, please visit our website at npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.